Hi, and welcome to Lesson 4. We're in 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to be covering chapters 4, starting with verse 13, and going through chapter 5 and ending at verse 11. So let's get started. I want to talk about death, because we're going to be covering this subject. But I also want to talk about our living hope. You know, any of us who are parents or who've cared for a child remember times when the child was in our care and they became scared and they became insecure and they didn't want us to leave. And we'd reassure the child with words like, "Oh, don't worry, I'll be right back," or "It won't be long, I'll be back soon." I remember when my son, Case, was very, very young and I was dropping him off at our first Mother's Day Out program. And I was terrified. I mean, I thought it'd be a good thing, and I gave him to the worker, or the helper, and he began to scream. Wah! You know, it was, oh my gosh, it ripped a hole in my heart. And they literally had to peel him off of me because he was, "Mommy!" You know, oh, it was awful. And I kept thinking, this is a good thing, right? This is a good thing, right? They told me this was a good thing, and I'm shaking. I called the place on the way home. And is he going to be okay? And I'm crying, you know. And she goes, "Mrs. Grossman, he'll be just fine. He's playing now. It's all good. Just, you know, come back when you're scheduled." And okay. Well, you know, I had to surrender my heart that he would be okay. And he had to trust that I would indeed come back. And you know what? We got through our first day and it was good. And there was joy. And when I came back, as I promised I would come back. Well, you know what? Jesus spoke that same way to us when he was talking about his return. In John 14, verses 1 through 3, he says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also will be where I am." That's a promise. The return of Christ is the most mentioned event in all of Scripture. Did you know that? In fact, it is mentioned 300 times in the New Testament. Christ's final words in Revelation, which is Revelation 22:20. "Yes, I am coming soon." You see, he wanted to be sure that we understood that. Even though the Thessalonians understood the Christian concept of death, that, you know, the believer is merely asleep, death to a pagan culture was to be considered the end. There was nothing more that would await them, nothing to hope for. Still today, there are plenty who believe that we die, we rot. Or the comedian George Carlin, he was very popular in the 70s and 80s. He is quoted as saying, "Life's tough and then you die." A pagan tombstone, a Greek-Roman tombstone from Paul's time reads, "I was not, I became, I am not, I care not." People who believe this way had no hope. They just had despair. Instead, as believers in Christ, we're promised resurrection and reunion. We go from perishable to imperishable, from natural to spiritual, from dead to alive. A wonderful reunion awaits us. You know, speaking of reunions, we have a family reunion coming this June, and I am so excited. I'm waiting with much anticipation because there's been a lot of loss in our family recently. We've lost our last matriarch. We lost my brother, who was a major source of keeping us all together. So we're all coming together and to honor everybody, and we're really excited about that. There's a anticipation that is exciting. But when we face loss, we don't grieve as the world does. We grieve with hope. We can know that the resurrection of our Christian loved ones is as sure as Christ's own resurrection after death. You know how I know that? Because it says so in verse 14. "For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him." As Christians, we celebrate a going home event rather than a funeral in some cases. I've been to some of the most celebratory funerals, if you will, because as Christians, we do celebrate. They're home. This is not our home. Heaven is. This subject of death was a hot topic back in Paul's day because remember that some of the actual witnesses to Christ's resurrection were still alive when this letter was written. It had only been a little over 20 years since Christ was crucified and raised from the dead. They could attest to what they saw. So the subject was being discussed in many areas. Asleep. Asleep to Christians means the death of the body, but not the spirit. It's similar to what we learned when we studied James, in which he said in James 2:26, as the body without the spirit is dead. A believer's soul goes immediately to be with the Lord when the body stops functioning. Death should not bring fear. Let's look at what Paul said to the Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians 5:8, he said, we are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Again, there is a wonderful reunion that awaits us. Who then is resurrected? All believers are resurrected. The church, Christ's bride, all believers, living and dead, will hear Christ's command when he comes. John 10:4 says, when he has brought us out of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Here's another promise. Just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. That's in 1 Corinthians 15:49. The pain and loneliness experienced at the death of a loved one can be accompanied by great joy and hope, knowing that God indeed keeps his promises. I remember when Princess Diana died with her secret fiancé, apparently, Dodi Fayed, and his father, Mohammed Al-Fayed, was saying, and I don't believe it's changed, is saying he will never change his room. Dodi's room is still left the way it was when he walked out of the house. Anything is out of line. And although that is paying homage to his dead son, that tells me that his father will never move on. His father had no hope. His life stopped right there. No reunion awaits him. They're just gone. That's sad to me. We must share the hope that we have. It's too big to keep to ourselves. Getting the word out helps build Christ's church and enables those around us to avoid living in fear. When September 11th happened, it brought back many to the church and renewed their hope, because Christians have a great opportunity when tragedy strikes to bring hope, because death is present and it begins to ask people about their mortality and begins to ask them, is there life after this world? It's never the end when you believe. There's been many people we know that have been able to minister to the Syrians in the Syrian refugee camps, because their belief is, once you die, you're dead. There's nothing. But the message of Christ brings hope. And a lot of these refugees are converting to Christianity because there is hope in the eternal. Even in the face of death, we have witnessed those whose joy and hope far outweigh their grief and sadness. When you are faced with the death of a loved one, hold tight to the truth, to this hope. Remind yourself of God's great promises for resurrection and everlasting life. Be a witness to those who see only loss and despair. Remember, a wonderful reunion awaits us all for this, all of it. This is good news, and it's worth sharing. Moving on. So in chapter 5, Paul talks about being awake and alert also. He says that in verses 1 and 2. He says, now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. So what is the day of the Lord that Paul's talking about? It's the time when God will judge all the nations of the world. Israel will be purged and bring in Christ's kingdom. Revelation chapter 6 through chapter 19 talks about that. And you know what? If you're interested in studying Revelation, well, I happen to know an author who just happened to write a book. It's a companion study to the book of Revelation. Her name is Jill Grossman. It's a great book. You should get it. It's available on Amazon. This verse also brings with you, for you know very well. He says that in verse 2. It's likely here that Paul had already instructed them on the end times when he was with them. He reminds them here that they don't need times and dates, because all will happen suddenly without warning. Unbelievers who don't understand will be relying on a false peace, because he goes on to say in verse 3, peace and safety. destruction will come on them suddenly because they're going to be relying on something that is false. Remember, God's people have been saved from the wrath, so they don't need to be anxious. Still, though, God expects us to be alert, awake, and live in the light. But what does that look like? Well, we should live every day clothed in the spiritual armor of faith, love, and hope. In those times, a soldier's breastplate covered him from the neck to the waist, protecting his vital organs. Faith protects us inwardly, and love protects us outwardly. The hope of salvation is our helmet, and it guards our minds and keeps us focused on Christ's return. We should also live every day as if it's our last, and for His glory. Each day can be one of expectation and readiness. We should live every day working diligently at whatever God gives us to do. While Christ may return tomorrow, we still plan for the years ahead, working at our assigned tasks and growing His kingdom. We should live every day as the reflection of Christ. We should be the light, remain balanced, cheerful, and stable, anticipating His return day by day. Faith, hope, and love are things that can be a part of our life, our daily lives. Our faith can lead us to trust God and to know He is in charge. Our love gives us the motivation and energy to go the extra mile for one another. And hope gives us comfort and encouragement when the world weighs us down. Remember, a wonderful reunion awaits us. The Thessalonians, and maybe even Paul himself, expected Christ to return during their lifetimes. But Paul never set dates. Jesus said no one. He said no one in that verse. But the Father can know the day or the hour. Mark 13:33 says, "But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." So it's reiterated by Jesus himself. So if anyone tries to tell you that they have the dates and they've got the times figured out, don't believe them. Because Scripture is very clear here. They don't know. The Mayan Indians don't know. The modern day prophets don't know. No one knows. Scripture is very clear here. We may know the season, but never the actual date. So live ready and live without anxiousness. Just have hope. We are not to be like others who are falling asleep, Paul says. He says in verse 6 of chapter 5, "So then, let us not be like others who are asleep. Let us be awake and sober." Some translations say, awake and serious. Falling asleep is a picture of what can happen to us spiritually. Well, and can happen to us ethically and morally if we are not watchful. Drowsiness begins and we become comfortable. Soon our hearts become insensitive. One commentator said it this way, "Spiritual drowsiness slowly paralyzes the spirit. The person who was once vibrant and wide awake in following Christ can become lethargic and lazy about issues of the spirit." Boy, that's true. I've seen that happen. I've seen that happen when life is too comfortable for people. They kind of let the spirit fall away, and following Christ is like, well, I'll get to it, because they're so wrapped up in their lives and their comfort. It happens all around us all the time. We need to be alert. We need to make sure this doesn't happen to us. This would be a crime against ourselves if we let this happen. So stay alert. It is very important we do. Perhaps you yourself have been grappling with questions regarding Christ's return. Or perhaps you've dealt with or are currently dealing with the death of a loved one. Yes, you must grieve. It's important you do. And let me just say, grief takes years. You can't rush it either. But you must. Remember, there's also hope. There's always hope for a believer. I want to read something I found someone gave me years ago. It's called Death. What a Wonderful Way to Explain It. It says, "A sick man turned to his doctor as he was preparing to leave the examination room and said, 'Doctor, I'm afraid to die. Tell me what lies on the other side.' Very quietly, the doctor said, 'I don't know.' 'You don't know? You're a Christian man and don't know what's on the other side?' The doctor was holding the handle of the door. On the other side came the sound of a scratching and whining sound. And as he opened the door, a dog sprang into the room and leaped on him with an eager show of gladness. Turning to the patient, the doctor said, "Did you notice my dog? He's never been in this room before. He didn't even know what was on the inside here. He knew nothing except that his master was here." And the door was opened, and he sprang in without fear. "I know little of what is on the other side of death, but I do know one thing. I know my master is there, and that is enough." And that is how we should look at it. Hope that God has prepared a place for us in heaven. There will be joy from that promised return. What a wonderful reunion awaits us. And to see not only our loved ones again, but to see Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Savior. You know, my mom died, this May will be 23 years. And my brother died in September. And I don't know. I can't stand before you confidently and say they were believers. I don't know. But what I do know, because I have brought this to the Lord many times, especially with my mother, I firmly believe that when we cross from life to death, that Christ is there with us and loving us. And only God knows the true heart of a person. And he can see when and why we hardened our hearts or made the choices we did or what happened in our past. And only he knows the secret places that we have. If he can spend so much time in the detail of a leaf or a blade of grass, what makes me think he won't spend detailed time in that place as we're crossing over from life to death? If there is doubt for your loved one, have hope that our living God met them there in that place. And we may indeed see them again because God is love. And then, if you know without a shadow of a doubt that they have denied Christ, then we know. But if there's doubt, if we're not sure, we have hope. We don't know. We don't know. Only God of love and grace knows. And he can see in the areas that we cannot. He is the ultimate counselor, the ultimate redeemer. We need to seek God for that comfort, and he will meet you there. And then we can cry with hope for the loss of our loved ones. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson about death, and thank you for this lesson about staying alert. I pray against us becoming lethargic and getting too comfortable and not seeking you, because time is ever so precious and moving forward at every second. And we are awaiting your return, Lord, and we look so forward to our reunion again with you. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, come. Maranatha, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.